What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Alinea Coaches Podcast. My name is William Mills. I'm going to be your host today and always. We're going to be doing these little updates prior to every episode from here on out, just to give you a little update as to what's been going on in our life after we get right to the chase with what we're going to be doing today on the podcast. So here it is. The cutting right to the chase is I'm going to be interviewing Libby Landry. She is a CrossFit seminar staff member, as well as a trainer out in San Diego at CrossFit Invictus. If you follow CrossFit, you might have heard of it. She is an OG Louisianian. So, you know, go Tigers. Shout out. Just like me, you know? So we share that, you know, that major Cajun bond. So this was a fun chat. We talked about how to best serve your community in terms of vetting information for your clients, staying up to date with what's the best stuff out there, and not introducing gimmicks or solving gimmicks for people who are exercising and looking for best ways to recover, as well as the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is this little neat graph of deeper learning. And we're going to talk about that. She thought it was a person, which was pretty funny. But yeah, we delve into that this episode and what's called imposter syndrome and how to get out of that and how to keep learning and how coaching is an effervescent type of, you know, career path where you're always going to be learning because stuff's always going to be improving. So we recorded this whenever we were in the midst of revamping the podcast. So, you know, we're currently sitting at about 2 weeks out from quarantine ending. This was a pre-quarantine chat whenever the world was somewhat normal, depending on how you want to frame that word. So I'm excited for this stuff to end. I saw a fun meme that people from the South have coined the term, rather than like in conversation saying that the pandemic is a thing, talking about quote unquote everything that's been going on. And I caught myself saying that after I saw that meme, and I think it's hilarious that Southerners, you know, frame things in that way. I think it's a lighthearted way. So hopefully some of that lightheartedness, Southern charm comes through with my chat with Libby. So hope you enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side.
If you're a barbell coach or trainer interested in learning more about the mechanics of lifting, or struggles with programming a client through pain to peak performance, or communication skills to effectively gather intel on your client's previous injuries, this podcast is for you. The Alinea Coaches Podcast exists to elevate strength and conditioning coaches, as well as personal trainers to the highest degree. Co-hosts and barbell coaches turned doctors of physical therapy, William Mills and Joey Rosie, interview coaches and trainers from around the globe on improving mechanics, communication, and programming to better serve their clients as a new line of fitness professional.
All right, so today we're going to be chatting with Libby Landry. She is a CrossFit coach at CrossFit Invictus in San Diego, as well as a level one seminar staff person. Staff member. Staff person is more inclusive, right?
I mean, it could be. It is 2020.
It is very 2020. How are you today?
I'm good. Also, is this video recording as well? Like, should I make sure I watch my face and stuff? Or is it just...
I mean, you could do whatever you want with your face, but yeah, it's video recording.
Okay, cool.
It'll probably be on YouTube.
All right, excellent.
At some point.
I'm good. I am, it's like 8 a.m. here. I'm going to coach the 9 a.m. class today. But yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So right before we clicked 3, 2, 1, go, you know.
In pure CrossFit fashion. In
pure CrossFit fashion. We were talking about the issue with not CrossFit toys, but just things that come up that CrossFit gyms get attracted to, and we would potentially say way too quickly. Specifically, the latest and greatest SOAS Smasher to get your SOAS right. I'm not going to actually drop the name of it because I don't want to encourage people.
Yeah.
If you say it on accident, I won't get upset with you.
Okay, I'll do my best.
But what are your thoughts on those things?
You know, I feel like a lot of times it's misguided because people don't understand what they're doing, and they see something on Instagram or they hear about it like on a podcast or something, and they're like, okay, well, I need that. And they don't actually either do their due diligence to like look up, okay, what exactly is this even supposed to do for me? Mm-hmm. Or they just take it at face value for what somebody else says. And so, you know, I have like some members that are like, oh yeah, I got to get in there. I got to smash my psoas. I'm like, I got tight hip flexors. I'm like, oh God, no. Like, where did you hear that? Like, where did you hear that somewhere? Did you make that up? So I feel like it's like with anything, people want the latest and greatest, and they see it or they hear about it and they're like, okay, I need that.
Yeah.
Without doing any sort of like research on what the utility of it is, if right. at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think you nailed it on the head with, I think it's almost like a twofold type of thing where the latest and greatest is kind of fueled by Instagram and sponsored CrossFit Games athletes. But where do you think the root of it came from? Like, where do you think it all started? Because I think I know, or I have an opinion on it, which has recently changed a little bit. But I think most of it is because Kelly Starrett and Mobility Wad.
Mm. You know, it's interesting that you say that because I don't disagree. And I think he kind of knows that. And I think he kind of, he's shifted now to the ready state because yeah. I think for that exact reason, I feel like people were taking things that he was saying completely out of context or without having like a deeper understanding of why he might have been saying, okay, smash this or use the foam roller for this reason or the lacrosse ball or whatever. And people then just took that to like, okay, the only, like, I'm in pain or this, I need to dig into
30
it.
30 minutes before
and
every
if
class.
It doesn't hurt, I'm not doing it right.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, stop.
Right.
So I almost feel like he's tried to like course correct out of that, like seeing kind of where people have like been taking
took it.
Yeah.
I agree. So I have a friend, she's the owner of one of the gyms that I treat out of, and I just started coaching again, who went to the NC Fit Collective.
Okay.
Like seminar meetup thingy. And K-Star was there talking, and he actually, I thought this was cool. She said he formally took ownership of that and apologized and talked about why he renamed his stuff to the Ready State, because he realized people took it too far with the foam rollers and lacrosse balls and the kettlebell handle in their guts.
Yeah.
But you know, it's good. It sucks that it's still happening so much, right? Like, it still seems like it's very much the go-to. And it's just almost from a coach's standpoint, I think it's a better approach to do what you suggested is ask yourself, is this helping? Test it on yourself. Is this helping me? And then see what it actually does with your athletes, to where you could give your athletes a better opinion and maybe point them in the direction of something better. Like what you said, are your hip flexors actually tight? Well, there's ways to assess that, and it's pretty hands-off, and you could just have one of your athletes do it. They just lay down and pull their knee to their chest. And then if the leg that they're not pulling to their chest goes down to the bench, voila, your hip flexors are not tight. And then you get to save yourself about 10 minutes a day that you previously thought that you needed to smash your hip flexors into submission, and then you can go do other things for 10 minutes a day.
Well, and I think, like, to your point, you know, as coaches, we have a certain responsibility, and this is like something that I'm passionate about with especially new coaches, is the athletes don't know, the members don't know, the clients don't know. Like, they come to us to help them and guide them. And so we have a responsibility, like the onus is on us to know, hey, is that effective? Is that an effective way to get what, like, read between the lines, like, what's the client telling you?
Yeah. And did you say onus?
I did.
That's such a good word.
I love vocab.
That's a fantastic
my
word.
Best subject in school.
Yeah, so the responsibility is on you.
Yeah, like, as coaches, they don't, like, they might see something or hear something, and it's on us as the coach and as, like, kind of the person that they look to and the person that they're coming to understand. I'm not saying as coaches we need to know everything, but if somebody, like, comes to you and is like, oh, I think I'm going to buy this thing that is supposed to loosen up my hip flexor, there's a deeper conversation there. And there's, like, there's an extra step. It's not just like, okay, cool, I'm proud of you for taking responsibility for your mobility. It's like, like, okay, let's take it, like you said, let's do an assessment. Let's figure out, is what you're feeling tight, or is it weak, or do you need stability, strength? Like, what is it that you actually need? And then guide them, because they don't know. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, it's not a criticism of the member. It's just that, like, that is our job.
Right.
And
at this point in life, you know, I think it's also regionally dependent. Like, in San Diego, you know, the aura of people from San Diego is they're very health conscious, health minded. So you're saying that, I mean, you coach there. Are you saying that people still don't know even when they're health conscious, as in, like, they seek their information from the wrong sources and they're misinformed? Or is it not as regionally dependent as we think, and it's kind of just people? I mean, in school we talked about how people are ultimately going to be sheeple. Like, sheep follow sheeps. And that's just like human psychology, like herd mentality. If you see someone doing it, you're probably going to end up doing it at one point or another.
Well, that's how you learn. That's, like, goes back to, like, your learned behaviors is because you've seen somebody else doing it.
Right.
And I think that's where, like, for a lot of people, the buck stops is like, oh, well, I saw somebody else doing it, so that means I should do it too. And that's where I think good coaching comes in, is to be like, okay, you guys might be in totally different situations, or you might have totally different reasons. Like, yeah, maybe this person needs this, but you need something else.
Yeah.
And so I think with how accessible information is, that people are just putting out stuff to try and like differentiate themselves or get their names out there or like, you know, make a splash. And there's very little, again, it almost forces the responsibility back on the individual to then like fact check and like do their research and know if that's right for them. And not that I'm going to call out this publication in, like specifically, but there was a recent post on Instagram of like, if you're not serious about, or serious about CrossFit, do keto. And it's like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And does keto work for some people? 100%. Is it completely inappropriate for some people? 100%. But people don't know that. They don't know the difference and they don't know when they should implement a tool. And there's a tool bag for a reason.
Did you read those comments?
I saw like a handful and I was like,
those comments,
where's the popcorn?
Like the Michael Jackson.
Ooh, I'm just gonna watch. Like,
I saw Patrick Vellner said,
yes, he had the best.
This post is irresponsible.
And mic drop right there, because I don't disagree with him, you know. And it's like, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, or like, not every tool is not the right tool for the job. And so, I think as coaches, we need to know which tools work in the right situations. And that's, I don't know. I feel like if we leave it up to the members or the athletes, then that's where problems occur, at least in my experience.
Yeah. I think, I literally always mess up these sayings, but the saying somewhere along the lines of if everything's a nail, it just gets the hammer, right?
Like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Doing the exact same thing for everyone is like not smart.
Totally.
Right? Like, it's just, oh yeah, you're just going to get that. But it might not have any context of what's important to you or what you need. It's a tough game to play. I think it's the, being aware, but it's also in and of itself important to be aware of the things that are getting posted out there in the ethos, you know, in the CrossFit community, in the fitness community.
For sure.
Having an idea of what's out there so then you can address it in your own little pod, right?
Totally.
Because I think everybody goes through, as a trainer in the fitness community, wanting like the pull to be insta-famous or be well-known and have your voice heard. I feel like the pendulum is swinging a little bit now to where if you're serving your personal community well, then you're going to make it and you can have a career out of it. But then that goes back to, you know, your personal niche is the GEMS Facebook group for members, not go worry about what everyone else is seeing on Instagram. Like, make sure your people are the ones that are not doing the silly things, so then you could better serve your community, you know?
Well, and I think like taking it one step further, like what you've expressed is essentially two different reasons why someone might get into coaching.
Yeah.
And that, to be insta-famous and to like have your name out there. And one is to actually serve people. And those mindsets are totally different.
Wait, are you saying you don't have to have 5K plus 1,000 followers to be on the CrossFit L1 staff?
My
official... You have 225. And I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, my personal pay test 1200, so relax. Oh, but okay. No, I'm kidding. But no, like, you know, it's, they're two totally different mindsets, and you cannot teach someone. Can I say the S word?
Yeah.
In the podcast? Okay. You can't teach someone to give a shit. And like, that's one of the main things that I stress at the CrossFit Level Ones, is that the best coaches, the most successful coaches, the ones that I have seen kind of rise through the ranks, if you will, in their communities, are the ones that truly just want to help people. Like, if you're doing this for money or fame or glory, like, there's not that much of it in here. So like, that's not the reason. And the motivation is misplaced. And I'm not saying you can't. I would caution people who are like, I want to become this like famous trainer. Like, okay, you can try it. But ultimately this job is hard, and it's demanding, and it takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of commitment and growth. But if the motivation is not that you just genuinely want to help people, it's not I don't think it's the right business for you to be in.
Yeah.
And so then I feel like the issues occur when you get those people that are only into the latest and greatest. They just are trying to get their name out there. They just promote all these products or movements, like these crazy movements that you're like, what even is that?
Ooh, we're going to have to talk about that.
Just to like get 15 minutes of fame and like 10,000 followers. I'm like, okay, but what impact are you having? Like, what real impact are you having?
So what movement are you referring to?
No, there's like a million. Like, just go to any CrossFit fail Instagram, and it's like, do a one arm snatch into an overhead squat, and then do a backflip over the bar. And then,
oh, those like, kinds of movements.
Yeah,
I thought okay. You were talking about. So in my world,
I mean, I'm sure there's more.
In the yeah, so you know, those are just kind of like, oh, I need to get my clout up, you know.
Yeah.
By being like this gymnasty weightlifter. I don't think that's as bad as like the corrective exercise.
Okay, yeah, totally fair.
That do like the one-legged Bosu ball, bottoms up kettlebell press while breathing through a freaking balloon. Yeah. Like that shit. That's not
you only. Probably see more of that like on your Instagram yeah, feed.
Unfortunately.
Following like predominantly like PT people and
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you see some crazy stuff. Okay, so then question for you, like what do you feel like coaches are implementing that is perhaps misguided or perhaps they're, okay, so real quick, I feel like a lot of times I see coaches mimicking mm-hmm. without actually understanding the mechanism or the principle behind yeah. what they're trying to do. So I don't end of
sentence. What is that? So yeah, so let's unpack that. I think the first thing to realize is going back to what we talked about with you need to ask yourself what this actually means, because you need to be aware of your platform. If we're talking about micro platform, it's the immediate clients you serve, or it's your gym, or it's your town community.
Right.
You need to be aware of who's watching, in the sense of who's going to take what you just took out of context, further out of context, and then run sure. out of context whirlwind.
It's like right? a game of telephone.
Yeah. which is why we have the problems that we have in this industry, because it's telephone.
Sure.
So I would say the first thing a trainer should do is ask what this means, mm-hmm. right? Does this apply to anything that I'm already aware of? Or is it going to just be, because the claim that usually comes with that exercise, a corrective exercise, or the verbiage behind it is typically coming from a place that the person sharing that information is trying to improve their own status and prove a point that, you know, if you're not doing this, it usually comes across with, if you're not doing this, you're probably going to hurt yourself, or you're not going to reach this level, this freaking plane of existence and performance, you know? So being aware of where it's coming from, and the problem right now in society is people get their information from the people that have the most followers.
Right.
Or make the boldest claims. And whenever you're making bold claims and saying things like you have it all figured out, and if you're not in with us, you don't have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
That those types of people have damn near stopped learning because right. they think they have it all figured out. Are you familiar with the Dunning-Kruger effect?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard of that? So it's like this.
She's an actress, right?
No. Oh, she might be. But Dunning-Kruger is like two different names with a hyphen between.
Okay. I'm pretty sure there's an actress named Diane Kruger, or there's an actress with the last name Kruger. Anyway, continue.
Okay. I'm sure she's lovely. It's a graph that's like an inverse relationship. So it's like being an expert and then I can't remember the y-axis. It's like x-axis is time, and then the y-axis is confidence.
Okay.
And whenever you first realize something or come to a new conclusion or reach a mecca of some sort, in this case, we'll say a corrective exercise. You learn a corrective exercise, you think, and you try it out on yourself, it works on you, or you try it out on one other person and it works on them. Then you then apply that to everyone else because you think it's the best and you have a whole lot of confidence in it. But then whenever you get met with other things and other ideologies, you start up here with your confidence and you kind of dip.
Right.
Right. And you dip in confidence as you learn more until you reach this low point where you're like, you reach what they would call imposter syndrome, where you're like, you're questioning if you know anything because you've learned enough to the point where you realize you don't know that much.
Yeah.
Because you know enough to realize, like you reach this like.
Yeah.
Totally. I want to use the word onus again, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work here.
Your own vocab word, please.
So you realize that you don't know that much, and then you are no longer confident in what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize you need to keep going. So you seek more information, and then you filter out the good and the bad and the applications of both, and then you start to become more confident.
Yeah.
So in the physical therapy world, this typically happens with people on clinical rotations. For me, it happened in the first few months that I was working. Mm-hmm. So I was at the top. I was super confident in myself whenever I was on my clinical rotations, and I thought I was going to get out of school and just smash stuff, like
crush it,
help a bunch of people. And I was going to be able to solve all these complex problems. And then I realized, oh, whenever you throw humans in the mix, this is way more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then I got super unconfident, but then it pushed me to continue to learn. And then the confidence has steadily risen.
I mean, the best place to be, in my opinion, is that low point where you're like, oh shit, I don't know anything. I don't know enough, because that's the place where the growth happens. And that's the place where we continue to learn. So I try to leave the level ones having like at least instilled in people that like, it's okay. You don't need to know everything, and you don't know everything. And no one expects you to, but you have to be okay with that. You have to know that there's always more to know. And if you're in that spot where you're like, oh man, like I thought I knew this, like that experience is going to compound over time. And then you can start adding tools to the tool bag to where you're like, okay, nothing is universal. Nothing is a one size fits all approach, but I hate this like non-growth mindset, this like fixed mindset of like, oh, yeah. Nope, I know this, I know that, and I'm good. And it's like, coaches always need to be learning and growing and forcing themselves into positions to where they realize that they don't know everything. Mm-hmm. Because then once you do that, then you're like, okay, now I know where I need to move forward. And if we're never going there, one, you're going to get bored. Like you're not going to love coaching anymore. If you can just put it on cruise control, it's no longer going to be interesting. And I can tell you that from experience, like 8 years of doing this, if you're not learning, you're going to be over it in a very short amount of time. Yeah. And having the confidence to say like, I don't know the answer to that, but then doing your due diligence and following up, go do some research. Like you have no, like coaches have no excuse. The internet, even though it can be a dark place, it can be
a dark place.
It can be there's some misinformation, but yeah. Like check out more than one resource. Check out like resources that you trust or that you know are valuable and valid. And then follow up with that person. But like being okay saying like I don't know the answer to that. But then going and learning about it. And I feel like that all comes full circle to even like our initial start of this conversation of like all these gimmicks and all these different tools and tricks. It's like, do some research.
Yeah.
You'll be happier. You'll be a better coach. You'll be a happier person. If we're not learning, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then you'll serve your members better. Mm-hmm. It's a win for everybody.
Yeah, so I think a good way to filter those things is, I'm going to make up a new analogy, so I'll probably use this in the future.
I like it.
the principles over methods goggles, mm-hmm. Right? If you're looking at something and you're, Siri just thought I was talking to her. If you're looking at something and you realize, and it's a new thing, latest, greatest, blah, blah, blah. You have, on the front end, you have the principles that you know work, right? Mm-hmm. The hottest principles right now that make the most sense, that stand up to competing research, in the fitness world is rest is like the base, right? Mm-hmm. Are you resting enough? Rest means sleep, not active recovery, right?
Right.
If you're not sleeping if you're not averaging 7 hours on a weekly basis, all the other stuff that you're doing for recovery is kind of just like pissing in the wind, as my dad would say.
I would say even the working out is not even going to be it. Your nutrition, your workout, yeah. Like stress levels, all of that.
Yeah. So that like builds upon the pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. I would say sleep is kind of the base in the recovery world, because everybody wants to talk about recovery right now.
Right.
So what is going to help inform sleep? That's the principle. If you're looking at newer stuff that's claiming that it helps sleep, like, CBD, doing active recovery, doing foam rolling on your days off, those types of things. I think the principle is that it's informing sleep and helping you recover better, but you also have to hold it up to the method, like those things are the different methods. Mm-hmm. How are they informing the principle?
Mm-hmm.
And I think weighing it out in terms of, well, cost is a very practical application. If I'm in a, suggest something to someone, I would say, is a $20 vial of CBD that says it can help you sleep better and recover better going to be a better test than a $600 vibrator gun?
Mm-hmm.
I would test the $20 one first.
Sure.
Just from a practical standpoint. Not
also, if you're listening, it's not if to your say, vial of CBD is $20, it's not CBD.
Yeah. So,
pro tip.
So, you know, what, like, looking at things in a practical sense of that, right?
Yeah.
And then, and that's if you don't want to do the research to figure out if there's evidence to support it, right? Mm-hmm. I think everyone should do that.
You know what I find too, that people do a lot is they change up so many things at once and then they have no clue what actually worked.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's like a standard science experiment is there's one variable that you change. And because if you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then you have no clue which is the thing.
Right.
Right. So like
the shotgun blast.
Yeah. Like I hope something hits.
The razzle dazzle.
The old razzle dazzle.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's that is a definite, that's the scientific approach.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out, have a question, ask the question, test the question, and then go from there. Does it work?
Yeah.
You know, that applies to things like CBD. That applies to things like, you know, practicing breath work to decrease your overstimulated little 2020 American mind.
Mm-hmm.
That goes for exercises like that. You know, that's the one I talk about the most is the corrective exercises in quotations. How do we know that these exercises are going to work if the thing that you're following or subscribing to currently constantly changes every single day and it's just shotgun blasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not how musculoskeletal problems get better if you have a problem.
Sure. Like,
you need to do one thing for a week or two to see if that implementation is going to make a positive change. If it does, okay, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then you need to go back to the drawing board, not just constantly changing things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, that goes back to the sexiness of certain things on Instagram. And then that goes down the other rabbit hole of who's sponsored by who and who's doing the thing, right? Because if you see somebody doing the thing and they're attractive and of high status, then then a person is more likely to do the thing, right?
For sure.
So, and that, but that all follow, that all falls within the methods, right? Then you have to contrast, okay, does this go with the best principles?
For sure. I mean, I feel like all of that is full circle for this entire conversation. And then, you know, in my opinion, it goes back to that it's the responsibility is on us as professionals in this industry to be able to guide our clients toward the best path for them. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be the same path. Like it's not, you have to know all the things without knowing everything, of course, but like you have to know what people are being drawn to then know, okay, who is this good for? Who's this good for? Do the research, go the extra step, like be diligent in the pursuit of like more knowledge so that you have a well-rounded opinion. It goes with everything, nutrition, movements, like one of the biggest, my biggest things right now is that the workout of the day, what's on the board is a template. And every single person that comes into the gym does not necessarily fit that template, and that's okay. And it is my job to make sure that everybody's getting like the workout that they need, whether that's loading, whether that's rep schemes, whether that's the actual movement itself. Maybe they're not going to do a full range of motion squat. Oh my God. Right. But like, what are they feeling versus what are they showing me as a position?
Right.
You know, like it's all, even though we're all not that much different, it is kind of like, we do need to make sure that we're customizing, that we're individualizing, and that as coaches, we know enough to guide people on their own path. I could be on the soapbox about this forever.
I think that's awesome. I think that's a solid end point, because you don't want to build on the soapbox.
I know, I'm about to cut me loose.
That'll be like, just put a pin in it.
Yes.
That'll be the next conversation.
Locking it up.
If you're interested in connecting with us and other coaches around the world, just like you, on a more personal level, join our Facebook group, Alineate Coaches Community, linked in the episode description. Also, if you or a friend who is a trainer are interested in joining us in a podcast, shoot us a message after joining. We'd love to chat.